I want to start with a verse from Hebrews that is very well known. Hebrews 11, about Abraham. When Abraham entered the good land, he did not build something steadfast, but he built a tent. What does that mean for us? A tent is something that doesn't last. It won't stay forever. It doesn't have a strong foundation. No one builds a tent with a strong foundation that you can't remove. Why do you build the tent? Because you want to go on the next day. It's very easy to remove the tent and you can bring it to a different place, to the next place, and then you can build up the tent again. I have to ask myself, do I live in a tent? Or am I tied up with my house? When we keep this Feast of the Tabernacles, but it's also called the Last Harvest, the Feast of the Last Harvest. Shall we keep the Feast of the Tabernacles? That means that we can't have roots on this earth. Because when the time has come to take us up, to rapture us, then you will be tied to this earth. Remember Lot's wife. Her heart was rooted in Sodom and Gomorrah. Why was he living in a tent, Abraham? Verse 10 says, because he was waiting for the city that has foundations whose builder and creator is God. That's the only way why Abraham was living in tents. And he didn't build a house in Canaan. Not just him, but also his sons, Isaac and Jacob. They were all living in tents. Because Abraham told them, that is not our lasting dwelling. Then the kids asked Abraham, and where are we going? And Abraham here said, he waited for the city. Which city? New York? Stuttgart? Stuttgart-Vaihingen? Zurich? Shall we move to Malaga, Torremolinas in Spain? Or Neuchâtel in Switzerland? Is that your lasting dwelling place? No, it's not. So in Amsterdam? No, that's not my place. Will you move to Stuttgart-Vaihingen? Oh no, I won't. So where are you going? Also where Abraham went. Where are you today? In the heavenlies. Are you truly in the heavenlies? Why can I see you here on Zoom? The word shows us we have been brought to Zion, not yet in the heavenlies, not yet in the heavens, but at least today we're in Zion. It's already heavenly, but not fully yet. But at least we're today in Zion. The word tells us in Hebrews 12 that we are already in the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. But only when we are in the Spirit. In the flesh, we're still on this earth. That's why we still have problems. But only in the Spirit, Zion is being built. We are not ready yet with the building, but we're waiting. We expect, we do not just wait, but we expect and believe that God will build his city with us today. It is starting today, not just later. Everybody wants to go into heaven in the future, but the heavenly Jerusalem is being built today. In Stuttgart, Vaihingen, in Zurich, in Fountain Valley, in New York is being built. And who is the builder? Are you building it, Roland? No. So who is building today? The Lord. I want to build my church, says the Lord. Paul says he was a builder, but he can only put down the foundation, not more. But everybody shall pay attention how everybody builds on this foundation. Everybody of us is building also. Christian Roof, you are also a builder, a co-builder. Everybody of us has to build. Don't wait that someone else is building for you. And when you are building, co-building, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 with what materials we are building. We shouldn't build with wood, hay, and straw. For sure not. But we should build with gold, silver, and precious stones and pearls. Where do we get the precious stones from, Christian? Praise the Lord. I like your name. It's Christian, and it's called Ruf, which means he is being called. For what are you being called? For this building. You're also building. We are all called to build. And I want to encourage all of you. Don't expect that the elders are building. or that an apostle is building. What could Paul and Peter build? They are no longer there. You are here, Christian. We are here. Don't expect someone else to build, and you are not building. The church is not being built by a man or some people. And how can all of us build if we are not being transformed? How shall he transform us to precious stones? Hold on. How long do we know each other already? Since 1977, we know one another. That's 48 years. So you weren't joining in 71 in December. But 77 to today, that's a long time too. Have we been transformed to precious stones yet? What do you think, Roland? I speak for myself. The process hasn't been finished. And John is asking, how many percent are finished? It's 50%, 75%, 90%. You should start asking the Lord, how much have I been transformed yet? Don't we have this concept? But the others can see clearly, and your own children can see clearly. After so many years, we're still in our old habits, in our old roots, in our old strengths and weaknesses. How can this holy city be built? We're still so earthly. We still love the earthly things. Our heart is still tied up in this world and deeply rooted in this world. We don't even see how deeply rooted we are in this world. To understand the teaching and to have knowledge is easy. We all have a sharp mind and we want to understand even more. But the understanding by itself, the teaching and the understanding, if it doesn't become our reality, then it's like zero. It doesn't help at all. That's why Paul said, the letter kills. And knowledge, even if it's correct and right, it makes us not living, but it makes us proud. And it deceives us. Because we know the Bible so well. We think we've done it. We've finished. But the knowledge doesn't help at all. Remember the word of the Lord in John 5. You are searching the scriptures. Aren't you a Bible researcher? How long have you been researching the Bible and searching the Bible? I can see Venka in Zoom. Mucheng, aren't you a Bible researcher? We like to search the Bible. We say we read, but we research, we want to understand. That's why we have so many books. And today we need no more books, but we need the internet. But that's then the Lord says, you search the scriptures, and the scripture talks about me, and that's correct. Of course, what else the Bible wants to show us? But then the Lord tells them, and that's very serious. But you don't want to come to me that you will receive life. To read the Bible and search the Bible does not give you life. But you have to come to him. He is the life. The book is not life. A good message is not life and cannot give life. Only the Spirit can give life. That's why the ministry of the New Covenant is not the letter. It's not just the teaching, even if it's correct. But life is a person. Life is the Spirit, is the triune God. God Himself is the life. After so many years, I've heard so much teaching, how people read book over book over book, but it's dead. It's dead in the sense because they have little experience. They think they have the best teachings. Even the best teaching cannot help us. But the Lord Himself who dwells in you and your fellowship with Him. Who shall live for you, Christian? Can you live for me, please? Or give me a bit more of your life. Can you do that? Remember the 10 virgins? The foolish ones say, give me a bit of your oil to the wise ones. What do the five wise virgins say? Are they greedy? I don't want to give it to you? No. It's not a question of being greedy and not wanting to share, or you like to give. But it's impossible to share life. Oh Lord, I'm over 80 years old. Can you give me 5 years of your life? He's laughing. Why do you laugh? I don't have the power to do that, he says. Do you think you need power to give me 5 years for my life? You have to ask the Father. Maybe you are also old. Maybe I ask David, who is younger. Just lend me a few years. We're now relatives, so that's not possible. Oh, poor me. I'm a poor person. Why do you expect that someone comes and gives a conference and will give you life? You shall come to the Lord yourself and receive life from Him. It's your responsibility. How will you build if you are not in this process of transformation? If you don't eat daily of the tree of life, don't expect that someone will eat the fruits of the tree of life for you. Who can eat for you? You can only eat for yourself. It's not just about love, love, love. The love of people is like a yo-yo. It goes down and up, up and down. And most of them stay down. It's a toy that goes up and down. We don't have much time left. Everybody has the responsibility in the building up of Zion. No one can build for you and take on your part. It shows the maturity of life. We all want to mature. You want to be a first fruit. How can someone else grow for you? Toby? You are a dad now. Can you grow for your children? Oh, that's impossible. But you love them, don't you? I can just sit next to them. They have to grow themselves, the children. How? By eating and to live healthily. And sometimes when they need discipline, the more they grow in life, the more independent they become from you. Isn't it like that? We're all adults here. I can see Chuchan. Chuchan, you're a grown-up man. You're even married now. Do you still rely daily on the help of your father? Why not? Don't you love your father? Yes, he does. Do you daily need the help from your father? No, not anymore. You have matured. Paul says, we should not remain children to be cast to and fro by every wave. So one time this way, the other time that way. But we should mature to a grown man. We shall reach maturity through the fullness of Christ. Everybody of us should be like that. Ask yourself, how long have you been a Christian? Should you be daily spoon-fed? Christian, do you need to be fed? For sure not. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Everybody of us has to build according to the part that the Lord has given to us. Paul tells everybody. He has given to all a certain measure of Christ. Everybody has a certain measure. Doesn't matter how many talents you've got, you have to use it. We don't have to compare. We're not the same. Everybody has a different measure of the Lord, but everybody has to build. That's certainly a burden for us today. Everybody can experience Christ daily. It depends on, you have to decide, what do you want? Our living hope is for this wonderful city, and it's being built today. When you look upon the city that has lasting foundations, who should build? God is the master and the creator, the builder, of course. But God works in you, in all of us. You have to be willing to work together with this builder, with Master Builder. We're all builders in the house of the Lord. That's why Paul says everybody should be careful how you build on this foundation. That's very important, dear saints. This awareness, if it's being awoken in you, then we have to build because time is short. When I look back in the last 60 years, that's 6 decades, I've seen and understood. It's not the knowledge that builds up. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 8. But the love builds up. And love is not just love. What do you love? That's a big question. Love does not mean I accept everything. I say yes to everything. Love does not love the unrighteousness. Love learns to preserve itself from dirty things. Love is righteous. God's love is righteous. And the Lord said to Laodicea, for example, whom I love, I let them do whatever they want. Was that what the Lord said? Whom I love, I chasten. Do you love chastening? Hebrews 12 tells us, it says, oh, he's the loving father. But the father chastens. Don't think that his chastening is very mild. Look at all the apostles of the Lord. What kind of chastening did they go through? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times, Lord, take this away. And if the Lord doesn't take it away, would he say, you don't love me anymore? Don't you care about me anymore? How can I serve you with this thorn in my flesh? Is that love from the Lord? What does the Lord say? Let your grace be sufficient for you, the Lord said. If the Lord loved Paul like we love, then the Lord would have taken the thorn away. Do you think that would have been good for Paul? Toby. Are you bitter with the Lord, maybe? Because of what? Because of Noah? That's glorious. What did the Lord tell you? Whom I love, I chasten. That's wonderful when you saw that and understood this. You should see, it's the love of God for you. It depends how you see things. What would you rather have, Christian? Love, love, love. Or the fear of the Lord. Oh, the fear of the Lord. Why? So we stay humble. And the fear will preserve us from so many unnecessary evil things. Paul doesn't just know the fear of the Lord, but he even said in 2 Corinthians 5, Yeah, he knows the terror of the Lord. If we all stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and Lord, and you ask Him, Lord, why do you judge me? Aren't you love? It says God is love. But He isn't just love. But especially because He is love, there is also chastening. If you don't receive the chastening today, you will receive the judgment later. In the end, there will be no more grace. But there will be judgment. You're fearful of the earthly judge. You fear your boss in your company more than God. And why are you afraid of your boss? Because you would lose your job. But don't you have fear of God that you could lose your inheritance in the millennial kingdom? Do you have more fear of your boss or of God? Everybody is quiet. For sure, God is love, but not only, but He is also righteous and holy. And we have to honor Him and fear Him. Don't be afraid of people. What can people do? Doesn't matter who he is, whatever position he is. There's only one in the church in Zion who has a position. It's the Lord. It's the city of the great King. The great King doesn't need a replacement or someone who stands in for him. He has been made the head of all things to the church. And the brothers who are called responsible brothers. I want to kind of cross it out because everybody is responsible. This word responsible brother comes from the brother church. When we use the word responsible brothers for the elders, but everybody of us is responsible before God. That's why the Spirit in Isaiah 11, it's the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding and of counsel and of strength, of power, and it's the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's the Spirit that was on Jesus Christ. It's still the same Spirit that is living in us today, that has been given to us for the ministry. But for the service of the Lord, the last point is most important. Read it again. It's not a teaching, but it should be. We should be aware of that and live by that. The Lord appreciates the last point more than all other points. Why? So that as man, you don't just do what you want, what you think is right in your own eyes. Not to judge by your own thoughts. That's why we always judge incorrectly. The last point was most important for the Lord. The fear of what? Why do you drive according to the law? Because you're such a good citizen? No. Because you will lose your driver's license. You will get a punishment. So the fear is very important. In the mafia, they can do anything because they don't fear anything. When we don't have fear, we can do anything. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's very important to learn this for each of us, everyone. If we don't have this, when this awareness is awakened in us, then I believe that the Lord can go on with each one of us. And then Zion is being built up. Praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord. In a certain sense, it's the fear of the Lord is more important than love. When I was a young boy, I loved my father. But I also had respect and fear of him. Love and fear don't contradict each other, but they are parallel to one another. In Malachi, he said, if I'm the father, where is my honor? Love is just one side. There is another side to it. It's the fear, the respect. That's why it is not just fear, but it's a combination of honor and fear, of giving respect. When we honor him, then we fear him because he is holy. He cannot bear sin. The scepter of the Lord is the scepter of righteousness. That's what we need to realize today. And everybody is responsible. I emphasized that several times. Who is building the church? Who is building Zion in Fayeng? Everybody should say, me. And then the Lord will ask, who will build with me? And then you should say, I will build. Everybody is building according to the measure of the gift of Christ, like every member of the body. Don't think the fingers are so small, they are not helpful. The smaller, the more important. If the thumb would be as big as your arm, how could you do any work? Don't think these are little fingers. Just little fingers that can't do much. Which part of your being can play piano? Your feet? Your ears? Your teeth? These little fingers are so important. There shouldn't be any of them missing. The little toe is very important because you can't be steady and balance and walk properly if you don't have them. Every member is important. And who is ruling? It's the head. Every member is connected with the head. It's not the shoulder who tells my finger what to do. And who can replace the head? That's why the Lord hates the Nicolaitans. Those who rule over the saints. Yeah, if someone else is the head, then the whole church is wrong. And no one dares to say anything that it's not correct. And we say we all have to love. Who says that? If the Lord loves everybody, why doesn't everybody enter the millennial kingdom? Where is the love of God in this? Why only the overcomers? Why only the 144,000 first fruits. It's your own concepts of love, love, love. It's not the godly love, it's human love. You can only know love when you know Jesus truly. We want to be one with everything. Then go to the Catholic Church. There are many believers, and you should love the Catholic Church then. Yeah, like he used a German phrase, if you do one thing, then do the other too. The Lord does not love the Nicolaitans. He does not love Bileam. He doesn't love Isabel. The Lord doesn't love those who not repent in Sardis. He doesn't love Sardis. If the Lord doesn't love all of them, where does Babylon come from in chapter 17? That's why I tell myself and I tell you, we have to get to know the Lord in a real way. It's right to love, but it doesn't mean that we accept wrong things and we accept unrighteousness. What strong words did the Lord speak against the Pharisees when he was on this earth? Is that love? For you, it's no love. But it's the love of the Lord. Such a strong word. Today, we have to take hold of Christ and to learn Him, to learn Jesus Christ. He said to Paul, you've learned Christ like that, because the reality is in Jesus Christ. The truth, the reality is a person. It's not a book, not a letter. Don't forget about this verse in Ephesians chapter 4. You have not learned Christ like this. Like the truth is in Jesus. I don't want to learn teachings. I want to learn Jesus. That sounds a bit strange, Toby, doesn't it? What do you learn in Vaihingen, in Stuttgart? You learn the priestly service. You learn to bring sacrifices. If we don't learn Jesus in our daily life, then we don't have an offering to bring. What the apostles before experienced with Jesus, it's not that they just heard about Jesus, but they saw. They saw how Jesus lived. They saw his wisdom, his dealing with all situations. They saw his power. They saw how he turned water into wine in seconds. They saw how the storm listens to him. They saw how he washed their feet. They saw how he had compassion with people. They saw how he was persecuted. They saw through the behavior of the Lord that religion is not the truth. They saw the crucifixion of the Lord by themselves. They saw his resurrection. They saw his ascension. We haven't seen it. We've only heard and read about it. And we sang the song, "He Ascended." Roland said, "He's already up in the heavens. And next time, take me with you." That's why no one can be an apostle except the 12, or you say 11. They had to be with Jesus from the beginning and to see the reality of Jesus. That's the qualification that they need. That's why no one can replace the 12. That's why Jesus appeared to Paul on his way to Damascus. His appearing changed this person. Several times the Lord has to appear to us. How often has the Lord appeared to you? Maybe not the way he appeared to Paul. Amen. There are a lot of things to have fellowship about. But if you take hold of this, let's go back to Revelation. John was already old in Patmos, but the Lord appeared to him. Thank the Lord. It doesn't matter where we are. The Lord can appear to us. The Lord wonderfully showed him everything. It's not a teaching anymore. In Revelation, there's no longer doctrine. It's only visions. It's the reality he saw. So when we read these first five chapters and so if you take the first five chapters and the last four chapters, and then we have the golden lampstands and the high priest. And in the end, we have the bride and the wife of the Lamb, this golden city. So if we take these together, if we take out the judgment and the chapters in between, then we can forget about it during this conference, but just look at the golden lampstands to the golden city. Can you imagine that, Christian? Isn't that wonderful? In the beginning are the golden lampstands, and in the end is the golden city. A city where God Himself is the light, where Christ is the lamp, and the city is a golden lampstand. First three chapters with the last three chapters together. Isn't that wonderful? Can you understand what I'm saying? Amen. The Lord needs golden lampstands today. And the golden lampstands need this wonderful high priest, Melchizedek. In the Gospels, we saw the Savior. But here in the end of the Bible, we see this wonderful high priest. And that shows that this golden lampstand should be the whole priesthood. High priest without a priesthood, that doesn't work. Hebrews 2 says, I and the children that you've given to me, that's the holy priesthood. Don't think it's just Jesus the high priest and no other priests. No, no. It's a priesthood. And the golden lampstand is in the sanctuary, not in the outer court. The outer court is not being measured. In chapter 13 of Revelation, only the holy place and the most holy place is being measured, and those who worship there. Who can worship there? Only the priests. Everybody else is outside in the outer court. Only the priests can enter there. And then you will say, in Hebrews 10 it says that the veil has been taken away and now everybody can enter. Who says that? They have to be sanctified. They have to be cleansed. And you have to be holy. You have to be washed with water. And you have to put on the Christian garment. And then you can enter. Not just the high priest, but also the other priests, the priesthood. Only priests can enter. That's why the whole epistle of the Hebrews has to do with the priestly service. The title of the conference is right. The priestly service, the building up of the new Jerusalem through the experience of the spiritual offerings. You think it's enough to just experience spiritual offerings and that's enough? Many years ago, 1969-1970, we heard about Christ is the reality of the spiritual offerings. But no one does it. But when someone does it, then they say, it's just for myself. I put on the new man, the humanity of Christ. That's not good enough. Because then you take it off tomorrow. To take off the old man and tomorrow you put it on again. that's more comfortable. That's how it is. No. The priesthood constantly. Zion is the gathering, the festal gathering, the city of the living God. It's for the experience. It's food for God. But in secret, through the experience, you take part. It's through the experience of the spiritual offerings, the Lord transforms you. But God, in His wisdom, has asked of you that you should bring food to me. You have to prepare food for Him. Don't forget. In Numbers, God told Moses, remind my people and tell them that they shouldn't forget to bring me food at the right time. Few Christians have the consciousness that God needs His food and that we should prepare food for God. Christian Roof, have you ever heard that we should prepare food for God before? But now you know about it, hopefully. Yeah, I love to do it. Hallelujah. God is happy about it. Finally, some of the people of God take care of bringing me food. That's why Zadok and Ezekiel in the millennial kingdom, because they were faithful priests, that's why they can bring food to the table of the Lord into the holy place. That's why this is the right way to being transformed, to become a precious stone, to become a pearl, to gain gold. Okay, time has passed. I have to keep to my timeline. The Lord be with us all. And be merciful to us. Don't take this as a doctrine, but put it into practice. Revelation 1 says, blessed are those who've read and heard it, but what did they do? But who also keep it. That means they live by it. And they gain experiences daily. Just hearing and seeing, it's not enough. But to live by it and to do it. That's what it's all about. After reading it, come to Him. That we may have life, that we may have the reality for our daily life. Good. The Lord be with you. Amen.